We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-726-0929. It's the wake-up call. My name is Mike. That's Allie. His name is Squid, and he gave you a very subpar list on MTV reality shows.
But that was a phenomenal
And Dylan
list.
Is back there just wondering what all these shows are, because he's right. Like, dude. I have no idea.
I knew all of these shows except Two A Days. That's the only one I didn't know.
It is old school.
But all the other ones I watched.
As old as Real World is, it still can, you know, still rolls on and with today's younger people because it was so long. Like it's I don't know when, like Real World started in like 93, right?
92 was 92, first year, I think.
And I'll 91. Say this.
But it was on for like 25 years.
My mom and I watched obviously Real World and Road Rules, like the separate shows, but like when they came together and did Real World Road Rules Challenge, right. My mom and I watched those together religiously when I was in high school.
Yeah. At 929 Morning Shift, if you guys want to weigh in on Bo's Top 5 Tuesday, we've also been talking about the best pass rushers that the Falcons will face all season. They're missing, I don't know, 9 of the top 10, but there's still some good ones out there that we'll be talking about. Allie, did you have any egregious, like, just things that he left out on his top 5 that just, you're like, how could you do this?
Well, so it's going to go against what I said about the reality shows.
Oh, here we go.
But it follows one person. Just with different celebrities. Punk'd. You miss Punk'd.
Yeah.
And that I do consider a reality show, probably the most authentic reality show, because we actually get to see celebrities as they truly are. Zach Braff yelling at a little kid for spray painting his car, like got in his face. Like Zach Braff lost work over that episode.
That's like that's kind of like improv to me, like reality improv. It's almost its own world because you're pranking people. I mean, you know, that way I could say that the Jerky Boys TV show was like a reality show because you're calling people.
Yeah.
How about Catfish?
I'm not.
Now, Catfish is a good one.
Catfish is a great one.
That's the same. To me, that's the same. We're going down the same path. It's like a host, and then you feature different people every week.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't understand why yours is like Pimp My Ride's not a thing for you, but Punk'd is.
Pimp My Ride is like awarding someone for something. Like Punk'd is putting them in difficult situations and seeing how they react.
Wouldn't Room Raiders be more of that?
Room Raiders was dating, wasn't it?
No, but you went into three potential people's room and you picked that person based
That's
on their
like
room.
The least reality show basis I've ever heard.
I just like I'm so upset.
What Punk'd is.
Yeah.
Okay.
404-726-0929. Reminder, this is Sports Radio 929 The Game, but we obviously have a lot of fun. Robin Big.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, what are we doing here?
I just think Robin
Big is
staged.
How is Robin Big not involved?
I think it's staged. I think it was a lot
of staged.
Okay,
you made that argument for any of the shows you just had, especially like Two A Days.
Two A Day wasn't staged.
Okay.
They were high schoolers.
Listen to me. Did I not just tell you 10 minutes ago that I know a bunch of these people?
That doesn't mean you know more than me.
All they do is set up the situations. They don't necessarily stage how the people react. They're like, hey. I mean, look, I told you guys before, on Hard Knocks, they're like, hey, offensive line guys, you guys are going to eat lunch at Chili's today. Like, what? Why would we do that? Oh, because we're buying you guys a lunch at Chili's
right.
today. And then you go sit around. Now, that never aired because we all just kind of sat around and looked at each other like, what are we supposed to be talking about?
Right.
And nothing ever happened. So they were just like, well, this is garbage cut. We're not going to put this on TV. And I think a lot of that happened. Yeah, they were like, well, these guys didn't even talk to each other at lunch. What's going on? I'm like, we're in the middle of training camp, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, but none of that ever happens. They also tried to force me to take my boat out on the lake on my off day. I was like, dude, it's my off day. I'm going to sleep.
That's so funny. I would have been like, absolutely. Where's the camera?
Right.
Yeah, why didn't you do that?
I'm actually shocked. Well, first of all, nobody else wanted to do it either. They're like, dude, sleep. I was going to make Jake Matthews do it because he was a rookie. I was like, you're going to have to come with me because you're a rookie. The only person I can make do this. I'm actually shocked. Like, and I shouldn't label Allie this way. Like, Laguna Beach.
I was just about to bring that up.
That's like, not real.
It's one of the OG reality shows.
That's not real.
Laguna Beach and also the baby sister of the newlywed show, Ashley Simpson's show. That was a great reality. When she was putting her record together, that was like a behind-the-scenes look at how all that happens.
Okay, answer me this. I've always been under the impression that The Hills and Laguna Beach are not real reality shows.
Now, I don't know. Like, you keep saying this, but and then you include Two-A-Day in the real world.
But those are real people. Laguna Beach and The Hills were like actors.
They were not actors, but Kristen Cavallari has come along and said, you know, they would tell me, like, if you... Here's the problem, is, like, they would dangle carrots in front of them.
Right. So, I think that's like, what happens with all of them, though.
With The Hills specifically, Kristen Cavallari said there was a situation where they offered a Birkin bag to the other girls if they would claim that Kristen was doing drugs on camera.
Go.
And they did!
Yeah, like, yeah, I fully believe
that. They didn't do that in 2 days. They were just high school kids trying to play football,
I'm shooting a couple texts right now.
Go.
Text now.
DeJong or whatever his name was. DeJong.
Dijon.
Whatever.
Deshaun. Anyways, 404-726-0929 if you guys want to weigh in on Bo's top five list. This is absolutely awful. The fact that Robin Biggs went there.
Can we also admire how much respect Bo has for Teen Mom? And
I mean, that's just so off-brand. Off-putting for him.
If you bring up Teen Mom in front of Bo Morgan and Mike Conti, it's the most entertaining 10 minutes you'll have.
I have no idea what our callers want to talk about right now, but that's why we just call it the wake-up call. Dylan, let's head out to the phone lines. Let's welcome in our buddy Dan from Decatur. Dan, I have no idea if you're enjoying the show or not, my friend, but thank you for calling in.
Dude, I've been over here laughing, cracking, I'm talking about the whole nine. I'm like, all of these shows, y'all are bringing back so many memories.
Yep.
And how could we forget about Sweet 16?
No, fire that off into the sun. No, that's a terrible show.
You know what I'm saying? Sweet 16. Like, how do we forget about that?
Yeah.
And then another one of my favorite ones was True Life. I just like how they kind of dove into that. True Life. And then my last one, I'm going to take y'all out with this one, The Osbournes.
That's good. That was a phenomenal, phenomenal phone call.
That is a legit one that I did forget about. I should have had that on my honorable
mention. That was what started the conversation yesterday where this topic came up. How did we forget that?
That's so true.
We were talking about Ozzy's Black Sabbath thing.
Yeah,
his send off, and that was that. That's crazy that you were.
That's a phenomenal one.
The Sweet 16 show is the worst piece of trash TV show I've ever seen. Like spoiled kids.
Did we talk about Catfish? Obviously, that kind of belongs to me. Catfish belongs in the punked Pimp My Ride genre.
Yeah, I mean, I think Catfish is one of them. It's such an interesting study of humans
and how
we interact. It's
terrible.
Crazy.
I wish that one was fired into the sun, but it's not going to be. Let's go back to the phone lines, Dylan. Let's go to Mike's Mafia, agent number 78 in the car.
Good morning.
What's up, man?
I swear this right here confirms of why I am a Mafia member.
Thank you, sir.
I cannot believe. Well, he did it. Bo convinced me. Because he believes in these reality shows and that they're not staged, that's what lets me know right there that I have to be Mafia for life.
I know, right? This man's like, hey, Real World, no. Jersey Shore, not staged. Oh, my God. 2 days, not staged. Yeah, that's too funny, man.
The difference is when they started with The Real World, they were filming 24/7. It was for like 3 months or so. People had to leave jobs. But the expense to put all that together was high. So now it's low production cost to just give someone a scenario. Hey, go react to this at Chili's. Yeah. Go. It's a lot cheaper to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys forget what Real World was when it started. And Road Rules, too. They literally had confessionals, like rooms that they would go and they would literally just talk-ish on their roommates. And there was nobody in there. Like, there was no producers originally on those shows. They were just... They would film.
It's the parent of like Big Brother, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's a very, very, very good way to explain. I went John Freaking. Really good. But like that's what they did. And so, yeah, 2 days took a step further. But guess what? I freaking like 2 days. Okay? So
there, we got to the root
get
calls.
Off my lawn.
We got
all
the
right?
root cause.
And so I don't want to hear it.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's welcome in Mike from Marietta. Mike, what's going on, man? I like your name.
Yeah, it's a good one. I was not on Real World, but I was a finalist. The top, I think the final like 10 or 11 people did not get chosen. But but they definitely put you in situations. So they tell you how the only time I've ever been to LA was to do an interview for that show, the final like casting interview. And it is 100% run by the producers.
Hey, what season, what city were you?
It was like season. It was late. I'm not crazy old, but it was season 30, I want to say, in Chicago. And wow. Just to give you, I was not on that season, but just to give you an example, they ended up bringing back the contestants' girlfriends or ex-boyfriends in the middle of the season, and I.
Oh, no. Come back, Mike. Oh, there he is. Okay, we lost you for a second. Keep going. They brought back the girlfriends.
Yeah, or boyfriends, whoever they chose. You know, the final, like the contestants on that season, they brought back, what did they call it? Like in the closet, like, I don't know. They brought back ex-boyfriends or ex-girlfriends and did not tell those people.
Yes.
So, like, It is definitely run by production. You know, they tell you what to do. You do this, and obviously, you know, it's human will, like, you know, free will. You do whatever you want, but
the situations are set up. I think is what Mike's trying. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, about
Mike.
Season 30. I mean, no, it's big corporate, but I'm talking about the OG.
But haven't we all read the things like House Hunters, where it's like, dude, I already bought my house 3 months ago, and they made me go look at two houses and just kind of talk about the good and the bad. I mean.
Right.
But that's not a reality TV show.
Just real quick, I know this wasn't in your top five, but we have talked about Catfish. When I was back in college, I was doing a lot of like extra stuff just to make money on the side, a little side hustle in college.
You got Catfish?
No way.
No. I did not get Catfish.
Okay, oh, you're catfishing people.
No,
scamming.
I was not on the show Catfish, but I met a person who was on the show Catfish. We were on a movie set, and she told me that the Catfish people reached out to her so she could be a catfish. So it's not like she organically was a catfish, but she got reached out to be a catfish. So they paid her to be
a catfish.
She's
like a paid actress.
Wait.
She was an extra for a movie.
Wait, can you hear my heart breaking right now?
Yeah, told you that guy was a scam artist.
Now I'm not saying Neve and Max, you know, set all of them up, but some of them were set up.
Well, they don't even work together anymore, Neve and Max.
Yeah, they don't, yeah.
But I bet the thing is, if you start production on a show, and then like all of a sudden participants like are like, I'm not.
It dries up.
Right. I would assume you try to, you know, recoup some of that cost by saying, we'll just bring in an actor to play this part.
Yeah. No, I do believe that when you audition for those shows and they fly you out, I do believe they put you in situations to see how you react, because the crazier you react, the crazier they think you are, and they want you for that.
Is The Amazing Race a reality show for you? We got to go to break.
You know, I've never really watched it, so I don't want to judge it.
It is. It is a reality show.
Well, but it's a contest.
It's like Road Rules.
Okay, if they follow you the whole time, yeah.
Survivor?
But they follow you the whole
Survivor
time.
Survivor is a reality show. You know that, right?
I'm going to make like an enneagram. But a Venn diagram. Venn diagram to explain reality TV to you. Well, coming up, we're going to get the top picks that Mike and Bo have made for the best pass rushers that the Falcons will face this season. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
The Odyssey app.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
We are The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You've got Mike here, Bo across from me. I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan is behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We are going to talk about the pass rushers, but Bo's Top 5 Tuesday has lit a firestorm on Twitter regarding the best MTV reality shows, and I cannot let this day go by without my claim to fame that the producers for MTV's Real World and Road Rules came through Milledgeville when I was in school.
Oh.
Looking for people?
No.
Oh, yeah? When you were in college?
When I was in college. Yeah. And what they do, though, is they bring a bunch of the former cast there, like, to the party, to the club, hype you up before you do your interview and stuff. Dude, Ace pulled me up on a table, and we danced.
Ace.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
All right.
What an old school throwback, right?
All right, calm down, Grant. I know Grant. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How many years ago was that?
No, I mean, that's, I don't know. I could never do a reality show. Like
no?
That. No, God, no. I would never.
I was almost cast on a different one, but my contract with the radio station I was working with at the time would not allow me. But I was going to be on Married at First Sight, Second Chances. Not the one where you get married, but they took the people who ended up getting divorced and gave them a second chance.
That's, all right. First of all, I know, we got to move on.
Yeah, we do.
I would never do a reality show, and I would quadruple never do a Married at First Sight. Like, absolutely
but
not.
The version I was going to be on was not the one where you got married. It was just like the Bachelor version of taking those people.
Well, no, thanks.
There was a radio guy I used to work with who still works in the city who used to be bald and now has hair. And he was cast on I Love New York.
Yeah.
But he turned it down.
Smart move.
He didn't go. I cannot remember. I think it was like about a work or something. But yeah. And
those contracts.
New York was something, huh?
She still is. Intense. She's on Villains right now on
what?
E. Yeah.
What is that?
House of Villains. They cast all like the people that are the bad people on these reality shows. Like Tom Sandoval is going to be on it. Paul from Big Brother is going to be on it.
I don't know much about anything, but I know Tom Sandoval has found himself in a couple of bad places.
He was on CNN for cheating on his girlfriend. Like, that's crazy.
Who's
town.
Tom Sandoval?
Okay, dude, well, see me after the
story
show.
For another day. Yeah.
But you know, like, I Love New York was that spawned out of love
Flava.
Of flavor. Was it the
Flavor of Love?
Yeah, Flavor of love. That's what it was called.
You brought
yeah.
me back here just to reopen the same wound, Flav.
Oh my God.
That's when she got brought back the second time and she made it all the way to the finals and still didn't get picked.
Can't deal with y'all today.
What a great impression.
To reopen the same wound, Flav.
All right, we're going to move on to Falcons. When it comes to this team, Mike and Bo, they don't guess with their opinions. They know these things because Mike has been in the trenches as a Falcons offensive lineman. Bo is on the road every week with the team, so if they say it, trust it. We've been talking about the best pass rushers today that the Falcons are going to face. So where are we at with this? I think we named top 5-4-3, and we need to get to 2-1.
Should we recap our top?
Sure.
Please do.
I'll go first.
I thought that's what you were saying.
At 5, I put Joey Bosa because if he's healthy, he is. I know he hasn't been healthy, only 13 and a half sacks in 3 years. If he's healthy and he's on a pitch count, which I think he will be, a snap count,
yeah,
he could be legit with what's around him. At 4, I have Will McDonald. Dude broke on the scene in his sophomore year for the Jets. I think he had like 10 and a half sacks last year, one of the higher graded pass rushers in the league. And at 3, because of what's around him, because I think he's out to prove that he gets one more big deal, or one big deal, and in general, I think Hassan Reddick with the Bucs at 3, because he's got 51 sacks since 2020, I believe is a number. It's pretty good. I know he sucked last year, but part of that was a lot of what was going on with New York and a contract dispute.
Yeah, I started with 5. I went with Bradley Chubb, and you mentioned injury last year. Obviously didn't play last season for the Miami Dolphins, but with some of the other pieces that are around him, he had 12 sacks 2 years ago. I think he'll bust back on the scene and be a force to be reckoned with. I went at 4 for a lot of the reasons you mentioned of Joey Bosa. I went with Greg Rousseau, who's going to be one of his teammates. 8 sacks a year ago, obviously just inks the 4-year, $80 million extension up in Buffalo. I think he is going to be a problem for a lot of different teams. And when you look at the front, you mix in Ed Oliver, that's going to be a situation for the Falcons. And then at 3, I went defense tackle. I went Leonard Williams for the Seattle Seahawks.
I love
12
that
sacks a year ago, including 4 in his last 2 games. Just an absolute force in the interior to be reckoned with. And I think he's going to be lined up against Ryan Neusel, and I think that he's going to try to have a field day. So that's where we land at so far for 5-3.
I love that pick that you have at 3. I love the Leonard Williams thing. I think that is something that is just so – it's so not thought about. I did have a problem with all the L.A. guys, by the way. It was a real problem for me not putting one of those guys on the list because of how good they all are, and they collectively make each other much better.
Yeah, the LA thing for me, I started to put Jared Verse on my list, and then when it came down to it, I didn't. I think he's the best option as far as the Rams go to put on the list, but he had 4.5 sacks a year ago as a rookie. I know he's the defensive rookie of the year. But I also decided that if I was going to put him on there, I probably needed to take a look at Leatu Latu up in Indianapolis and Chop Robinson and guys that had similar statistics. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just grouped them all together and was like, you know what? We'll see what happens in year two with some of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you could put Braden Fisk on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Who had a better year, really.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So at number two for me, this is going to – I think this one is probably going to throw you off a little bit, although I'm not sure why. The Vikings, I've got Jonathan Greenard. 65 games. He has 35 sacks, like 50 tackles for loss. He had, 12 sacks last year? And he's got 7 forced fumbles. So not only does he get there, but he knows how to knock the ball out as well. You look at some of these guys that you'll go through with forced fumbles, and I think that's a very telling stat because they don't – sometimes they might not even get the guy down, but because they have active hands or, they can get the ball out, which is a sack at times.
Yeah. This is one of those things in life where somebody thinks they're going to shock you, and then you start being like, what do you think of me that you thought that was going to be shocking? Jonathan Greenard, absolutely. Okay. And I know that, people look at – and I know we've already got a tweet of Andrew Van Ginkle and different, a couple of other different players. Jonathan Greenard's there. The 12 sacks a year ago, obviously, Danielle Hunter and him switched places a couple of seasons ago between the Houston Texans and the Minnesota Vikings. Jonathan Greenard is one of those guys that is going to be an issue. And that game, correct me if I'm wrong, that game happens early in the season.
It's week two. Sunday night.
So that's not a thing where you're going to look, be like, oh man, week 16, maybe he's dinged up at that. No. He is going to be breathing fire and is going to be causing issues. I know he's a local Georgia guy, and when you add all that into the mix, man, he belongs at number two. I have absolutely zero issue with him being up on the list at number two for me. That's where he lands for me as well.
Paulding County guy.
There you
Hiram. Hiram. I actually, one of a buddy of mine coached him in high school.
Yeah. He's a dog, man.
He's a great kid. Great human being, too.
Yeah.
So at school, he did attend University of Florida at one point, too.
Careful calling him a kid. He's a grown man.
Yeah, you could. Randy McMichael would call him a grown ass man, dog.
I'm with you on that one.
I think number one is easy. I think we both had the same guy, number one.
Yep.
I would question you if you didn't have this guy, number one. Ali said all those nice things about your football, you being a football knower. A knower of ball, some say.
Yeah,
I would question you if we got to this point and this guy hasn't come up on your list. I would just completely dismiss you if Nick Bosa wasn't number one.
He's number one.
82 games in his, 107 games in his career. No, I'm wrong. 82. I'm right. I read the wrong guy. I was reading Joey. Wrong Bosa altogether. 82 games in his career. 62.5 sacks. 87 tackles for loss in that time span, 165 quarterback hits. Again, what was the number I mentioned earlier with Jonathan Greenard? Forced fumbles.
Forced fumbles.
This guy's got 11.
Yeah.
This guy's 11 forced fumbles. He gets the ball out. He had nine last year. I don't even think he was, I don't think he even played. He didn't play a full season. He missed three games.
Missed 3 games. I think it was an oblique he had a year ago, 3 or 4 games. He was kind of in and out. He had a number of different injuries. And that's really the only question when it comes to him and possibly his brother. But the question is he going to play 17 games? Anytime you line up a guy like that. Now, we can talk about San Francisco's front seven, and we can talk about their ability to get, to get to the quarterback. He is the cornerstone, right? When you talk about Nick Bosa, and that is also primetime game. It's going to be a home game for them. It's going to be loud for the Atlanta Falcons. I already get nervous for honestly both tackles in this situation. When you talk about primetime games and having to go on a head bob possibly out there in California. We talked about home games just a little while ago. I don't think it's a terrible place to play when it's a daytime game, but a nighttime game out in San Francisco and thinking of guys, Caleb McGarry going on a head bob against a guy like Nick Bosa is absolutely terrifying. A lot of these guys I categorize by like who would be terrifying when I turn on the film. He's numero uno on that list, buddy.
I think it's a phenomenal point that you got to face Greenard and Bosa on primetime games, away.
Yes.
And it makes it so much harder because everybody is hyped up. When it's national TV, I mean, it's always national TV, but it rings differently, Allie, when you're the only show in town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere else to go.
So those picks, the top five list from both Mike and Bo of the pass rushers we're going to be facing this season, they are up on Twitter. If you want to weigh in on this conversation at 929 Morning Shift. Coming up, just a word of advice. Take a nap after work today if you want to watch the Braves tonight. We will preview the Athletics game next, and we've got them mic'd up.
Yeah, we got them mic'd up. There's an interesting question thrown around in the socials yesterday. Assuming every player is at their athletic peak, which NFL player would win a game of 11v11 football if all the teams were made up of 22 clones of the same guy? We'll answer that question. Think about that during the break. We'll answer it when we come back. Sports Radio 929 The Game and
The Odyssey.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yeah, it is 8:42 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're the Morning Shift. You've got Mike here, Bo. I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan is behind the glass. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Fellas, I'm going to tell you, you should probably take a nap today if you're going to watch the game tonight, because the Braves are out in Sacramento to play the Athletics. They have a record of 37-55. Braves are at 39-50, so kind of on the same track.
I was thinking, I might pull the Abe Gordon schedule. You know, Abe woke up early this morning to watch Quarterback on Netflix and got through, I don't know, 5 or 6 episodes.
Do you think he's still watching right now?
Probably.
Yeah,
is.
I think he'll finish it today. Yeah, he'll finish it before he comes in.
Yeah, he's the breaking news Netflixer. But I'll probably pull that schedule. I'd rather pull that schedule. I'll just DVR the Braves game.
Okay.
You know, I'll check the final score when I wake up and see that there was a 2-1 victory. And then I'll turn it on at about 3 a.m. and I'll get to fast forward through the commercials and get it all in before we get on air tomorrow morning.
2-1 victory in favor of who?
The Braves.
Oh, okay,
2-1 victory.
Just making sure.
I will say,
or
Abe,
1-0.
Abe live tweeting the Netflix reality show Quarterback is has been entertaining this morning because he's full quoting it it's like he's at a press conference
yeah,
right now.
He is. Picture him pausing the screen and being like, "Oh, I got to fire this one off."
He said one of the funniest thing, but one of the most on-brand things yesterday I've ever heard. I was listening to him and Carl on my way to get Pork Chop, and Abe was talking about his running group. He was talking about, you obviously came up because Carl was like, "Yeah, y'all are dogging me," kind of calling me out about running it. And so Carl was asking about the running group that he's a part of. He's like, "Yeah, we go running the Saturday morning. We do it early. And then everybody goes out afterwards, but I go home." And Carl's like, "Wait, what do you mean you go home?" He's like, "Yeah, I go home after we run it. Everybody else goes to the spot for coffee, and I just go home." "Well, why?" "Well, my thoughts get to me." And now I'm like, "Whoa."
Wow, that got deep in a hurry.
Whoa, this is getting deep.
Yeah.
And Carl's like, "Well, what do you mean? Like, what thoughts? What do you get? You don't like fear of being in public or something?" And he's like, "No, I don't want to leave Chipper home too long, so yeah. I want to go home. I feel bad for leaving Chipper, so I go check on Chipper." And Carl's like, "Okay, well, that's normal."
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's your thoughts getting to you.
Yeah, just, I think that's just you being a good
dog. Pee.
He's got an older dog. He's just a good dog dad.
Yeah,
that's not your thoughts. Like, Abe made it sound like one thing. I'm like, that's a big deal. No, it's just.
I will say
that's him being responsible.
Yeah, but
well, yeah, in some ways,
Abe goes a little bit over the edge with his dog. I will say that. And I'm not one to judge, and you treat your own dog the own way. But I did invite Abe to a backyard like cookout. We did a low country boil at my house.
More than I've been invited to. So.
And well, that's before I knew you. And Abe came over, and he had Chipper on one of those, you know, like 2-foot leashes.
Yeah.
And he never let go of Chipper. And I was like, "Dude, let the dog run around, have a little fun. There's a couple other dogs right there." No, she's not good in those situations. I was like, "Dude,
well, hold on a second.
Now this is, you do know, 7 years ago.
You do know your dog. You do. Everybody know. You should
yeah.
know
yeah,
your dog."
Yeah, I mean, it was probably smart. I'm like, when did that happen? When did your dog not get good in a fenced in backyard with two other dogs? But it is what it is.
Man,
so you
I
have
would
to do what you have to do.
Never release Han and Chewie on your property. Like, that would be
really
absolutely would
terrorize
be insane.
Everybody.
Well, the dogs, they would go crazy. Well, yeah. I guess they've done better in like doggy daycare and stuff. But still, I don't trust them around other dogs because they're rambunctious little brothers, and they just
yeah, they
go
they,
at
they,
each
they,
other.
Yeah,
all the time.
Abe, let Chipper have some fun, dude. Like, all the other dogs are chopping it up right now, and she's just cooped up 2 foot away from your knee.
Well, Sprinkles doesn't like other dogs very much.
Yeah.
She's had a couple of doggy friends.
Sprinkles
got
to worry about getting stepped on by other dogs.
I'm more worried about a hawk in your backyard coming down and grabbing Sprinkles.
There's a lot of those.
I know.
You just have to put a bow on her, and then they know, don't touch her.
Oh, do they? Is that
that's the universal signal.
As she flies off over the power lines. Down
she'll look pretty. Yeah.
Hey. Hey, don't joke like that, man. That's not funny.
Well, the game is going to be at 10:05 tonight. That's when things get underway. And Didier Fuentes is our probable pitcher tonight against Jeffrey Springs.
Got to have a good night out of Didier Fuentes.
Yes.
Got to have a good night out of Didier Fuentes. We have to see some growth. Obviously, the A's is one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. And I say that, you know, tongue in cheek, because so are the Braves at this point, you know, with what they've been asked to do. But it's just one of those really strange games. It's late here. It's in Sacramento, of all places. You know, it's Didier Fuentes on the mound. I think I speak for all of Braves fans when it's like, dude, if there's any sniff of a hope, you've got to have a good start out of Didier Fuentes. And really from here on out, because as much as we argued 2 weeks ago about whether or not he was a guy that you wanted to count on down the stretch, he has to be that guy now.
It's funny how that turned out, yeah. Right? How we're like, he's going to make more stars. No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. And now it's like, well, he has to.
Oh, there's a broken elbow.
Don't you miss the days, though, Bo, of where you were like, what about a six-man rotation?
Yeah, I do. I love the. I miss those wholeheartedly. And I also miss the days where we were afforded the opportunity to criticize Bryce Elder's stars. Now we just have to live with them. Like, whether, you know, because I've been a Bryce Elder defender because he's had some great starts this year. We haven't seen one lately,
mm-hmm.
And it was nice to. It's just like now I don't even feel like we shouldn't be complaining. We should just be like praying that he makes it through five.
How many? The very first episode we were ever on air, Brian Snicker came on and he talked about the need to have 12 or 13 starters throughout the course, yep, of the season. I'm not going to count Aaron Bummer, but how many are we up to now?
Okay, well, let's start with Sell, Strider, Schwellenbach, Schauver, Elder, Fuentes. How am I missing?
Missing one for sure.
Like
I said, I mean, we can count Aaron Bummer who got started.
No. I'm missing somebody.
Did you say Holmes?
Holmes. I didn't say Holmes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Left
so you're
out.
At least at seven now, but it's
got to be more than that.
Oh, Lopez.
Oh, yeah.
That's eight.
Wow. That seems like an eternity ago.
So at least eight. At least eight already. And we're in, it's just in July. And I think Hurston Waldrop will be nine because I think they're bringing him up because they said they don't want to do a bullpen game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're looking at, so you're going to have a ninth by the end of the, would you say the week?
I know we got to get to mic'd up, but was there just a part of you that saw Charlie Morton the other night and you were like, man, that guy was so valuable?
Yeah,
right?
But you know what? Yes. And then you know what my next thought was?
He's expensive.
No, you're going to get mad at me. All the times I had to hear they complain about why are we paying 40-year-old Charlie Morton who only went five innings and $20 million. And how look how we could use this money. And now all those people, they are clamoring for him. And it's a lot of fans out there, and it just, it's how it falls.
There's just one way that you can keep me from getting mad at you about that. You just say a certain sector of Braves fans.
It's called they.
No, it's not. That's everybody. And no, that includes they. Us when you say they.
No, I'm not they.
All right, Dylan, let's hit this thing.
I'm we.
Yeah, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Now, I have to give credit where credit's due because this Mic'd Up comes directly from the Twitter account of one Mr. Davis Maddock, who writes for Underdog Fantasy. Also does a couple of things for some other different outlets. This was a really intriguing question that he asked yesterday. All right, I want y'all to follow me here because it's a nuanced question, okay? Assuming that every player is at their athletic peak, which NFL player would win a game, a football game, 11 versus 11, if all the teams were made up of 22 clones of the same guy? So it's the same person playing every position, offense and defense, and it's tournament style. and which one of these players would be able to carry the load. Now, I don't know if you include older retired players. I guess you could. I tried to go through this and include just guys that were active in the NFL right now. And here's the list I came up with. Now, if you were going to do older retired players, I think you'd bring in Julius Peppers, maybe even Cam Newton. Like, I think there'd be certain guys that you're just athletic freaks, right?
Randy Moss? Would you put Randy Moss on there?
I don't think Randy Moss is interested in blocking, so I'm going to leave him off that list. I don't think he'd be interested in that at all.
I don't know if Cam Newton would block.
Cam Newton at least has the size to be able to get it done.
That's true. That's true.
All right, so here's what I landed with. Right now, active in the NFL, I think my first pick would be Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett's one of those guys that's going to have the speed to get away from people offensively. You're probably going to have to run the triple option, but that's fine because I don't think he can throw, but at least he's big enough to block and he's got speed. He's an athletic freak. I went down from there. Now, you're going to like it, but the second pick I had in this, and he's not a superstar by any means, but everybody in this city knows his name, and that's Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill does a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
If you actually want to run an offense, you can probably pick Taysom Hill as your guy that would be able to get this done. Hill can throw it, he can run it, he can block.
I don't have to like you to respect you.
Yeah, that's kind of that's where we're landing at in this topic. All right, so far I went Myles Garrett, and then I went Taysom Hill. Then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, if we're talking about, I would have probably looked at Cam Newton had he been active. Let's go to Josh Allen. Josh Allen, tough runner, a guy who you know is going to be willing to step up to the plate if he had to block. Mm-hmm. Now, I think most of these offenses, if you were actually doing this exercise, most of these offenses are going to be quick screens and run plays. I don't think you're going to be trying to throw downfield with most of these people. Unless Josh Allen is blocking for Josh Allen and throwing to Josh Allen, then I think you have a shot of stretching the field a little bit. All right, he's going to run that little seam route. He's going to do some things that you couldn't do otherwise. So I got Josh Allen. So Myles Garrett, Taysom Hill, Josh Allen. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, you got to have mid-skill guys. I went to George Kittle. I think George Kittle's a guy who's obviously an exceptional blocker, a great route runner. I don't know that he's a guy that's going to be able to throw the ball to himself, mm-hmm. but I think that he's a guy, you know, that skill-wise, size-wise, will be able to get this done. And then I decided that the ultimate Swiss Army knife, Travis Hunter. Now, Travis Hunter probably not going to be a great blocker, but he's only getting pass rushed by Travis Hunter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, not Travis Hunter, but like, so that's kind of where I land. They're not playing each other.
Well,
all right, but it is what it is. The thing is, if you can get the ball out and you don't have to worry about a Myles Garrett pass rusher if you're Travis Hunter, then you're probably going to break away and run away from Myles Garrett.
I got two that come to mind immediately.
Okay.
Micah Parsons.
That's a good one.
Is fast.
That's a great one, actually.
Very strong, athletic, maybe more Myles Garrett, the way he run his offense.
Yeah.
This one you're probably going to disagree a little bit with, and you're just going to be like, you just got to get over it. It's a man crush. Bijan Robinson. He likes to block. He blocks well. He can run. He can catch.
Is he left-handed?
Don't know, but I'm sure he can. He's like Booby Miles.
Yeah.
And he can throw.
That's a good call, actually.
Yeah.
That's a good call,
Saquon
actually.
Might be a guy, too, that I'd put on there.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Saquon. I don't know that Saquon can catch, though.
Jalen Hurts. Yeah, right? I don't know, Dylan. You know who another one is? Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts would be a good one. I don't know how crispy he'd be as a route runner, but it seems like, yeah, he would definitely have some athletic upside. I guess Josh Allen's probably not very crisp either as a route runner,
yeah.
But it is what it is. All I'm picturing is Myles Garrett, and you're running just a wing tee offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a quarterback, and you're just dealing cards with your back to the defense out
you
there.
Know,
fake handoff, dive. Yes!
I know he's not the guy anymore, but I wonder if Deion Jones could have been on this list back in the day.
So
when
fast.
Because he was fast.
Oh, dude.
He's strong. He can hit.
Offensively, can he catch?
Yeah.
He had the big interception. Yeah, you're right, where he falls on his back. That was a good one.
Yeah, how many catches? How many interceptions? Come on, man. And you saw him outrun the whole team in New Orleans that time, too. God,
dang.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think Myles Garrett's
still playing.
I do like the Micah Parsons pick, though. I'm mad that I missed him.
What account was this again that put this question out there?
Davis Matic.
Okay.
At Davis, Matteck.
Massive credit to that account because this is one of those questions you could just, you can just go on and on and on with all the different options. But that's going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thank you for spending your morning with us today. Steak is ready to go. Sandra's back in the building. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.